whatever, all the stuff. Help them out, give them a pat on the back, you know, buy them a six pack.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk Spanish. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to hurry up and hit record because
baby sleep.
Yeah, when you're a parent, the kid sleeps for like 10 minutes, and in that 10 minutes, you have to get a week's worth of errands done.
Yeah,
and a week's worth of conversation.
That's what we learned. Amy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast. We're coming to you again,
live on delay.
Yeah,
here we are.
We're recording it live.
We are.
There you go.
We're live while recording.
It's live.
Yeah, right now
it's live.
So, you know, I thought it was funny that last week the title of the episode was Everything is Awful. And then, you know, everything was awful.
Yeah, it was prophetic.
Yeah, between a couple of dudes dying in, I think at best, you could say questionable circumstances. And at worst, you could say outright murdered. And the only reason I said, we kind of get into it, because I talked to people. It took time to, what do you think? Because I was a bit outraged by the two Alton Sterling murdered, I want to say Alton Sterling shooting and Philando Castile shooting. And, you know, I talked to other people, people who are black. And asked them, and some of them were like, I don't know about Alton Sterling. It seems like maybe he could have done some things. That was kind of questionable. And so, you know, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I was personally outraged. And I think that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. I say kind of, and I mean it this time. Because, I mean, we got like coffee to talk about too, and mention that.
Oh, so we got to get that in.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You got to mix them both, you know what I mean? Social unrest. Oh, yeah. Coffee reviews.
Makes sense.
That's how we do it.
We just got to jam it in quick. Baby's yeah. asleep.
Baby yes. is asleep.
Speak fast.
So which of the gentlemen was more portly? And then one of them was wiry. One of them was like a smaller guy, right?
Yeah. So if you don't know, I mean, what the hell were you doing all week, I guess? In a minute. So Alton Sterling was outside of a convenience store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he was a bigger guy, and he was also the convicted sex offender, and he was also the guy that was selling CDs illegally, quote-unquote, right?
I mean...
Yeah. So, the story goes that the cops said that somebody reported him brandishing a gun outside of the convenience store. So they pull up. Meanwhile, somebody's listening in. It's a kind of an activist group that records police interactions with people, especially black people. They heard the same thing. They followed the cops there because they were kind of gonna film it. So they were outside, and that is likely the video that you saw. So the video I saw.
Yeah.
And so they were outside, and the cops come up on the dude. They tase him. They tackle him. They pin him to the ground. Another cop shots gun. So the cop on top of him pulls out his gun, shoots him 4 times in the chest. Boom! 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 And according to the manager, the store manager, he says he wasn't really doing anything. He was a nice guy. We liked him. He always sold CDs out here. He just got a gun recently. And Louisiana is open carry state. You can carry a gun,
yeah,
whatever you want. Because in his line of work, other people got robbed. He heard about somebody else got mugged. So he wanted to protect himself. I don't know whether or not he brandished a gun at anybody. I don't know who called that in. I don't know what. But at the very least, that part is not... After the cops shot the dude, they commandeered the videotape from the store, the official surveillance camera. But the guy there who was recording it from a different angle, I have not seen that one. And then his friend, another guy, was in a convenience store, recorded it too. I have not seen that one. And they say basically the cops didn't he wasn't resisting. That the cops just kind of bum rushed him out of nowhere, and then shot him. And the cop's official version is he was trying to reach in for his gun, and then he was struggling, resisting arrest. So that is that, and that was pretty. I don't say when I first saw that, I was a little bit unsurprised and kind of depressed. I was like, God, again.
Yeah.
Did you see the video, Brett?
I saw one of the videos. I got to be honest. I don't know which fucking video I saw. It was from the angle of Alton. Is that the right? This is Alton. This is Alton's guy's first. Yeah. Thank you. It was from his 12. So if he is laid on the pavement, it's looking at the top of his head.
Okay.
I saw that video. And it's about... I mean, it looks like it was maybe shot from 2 to 3 feet off the pavement. So it's a pretty even viewpoint. It was really... It was just fucking heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking and... disappointing. But I, not really shocking. I mean, with that, and that was the tagline, on the video. It was shocking video. You will be shocked. I just wasn't really that shocked, which is a real fucking travesty, I think, because that's it's absolutely repugnant. But it sort of speaks to how commonplace this is and how much of an epidemic this sort of thing is, right? And I will say, I can understand how a bypasser, I sort of felt like, I looked at the guy and I was like, he sort of looks like he's resisting arrest. I mean, I really did. But I also thought, not enough to shoot the guy. I thought he was resisting arrest enough to maybe get punched in the face. I thought he was resisting arrest enough to re-tase. They've got a taser. They tased him to begin with, right? Didn't they drop him to the ground using a taser? Is it really that hard to re-enlist the use of that tool for a very specific purpose? I do not think is a problem, And yes, he did not look like a tiny guy. Yes. I don't know if he was resisting arrest. If he was, it wasn't crazy. He wasn't superhuman, like the Michael Brown thing. And that, and that whole thing, he was just a guy who looked really fucking uncomfortable and also had a gun. And I can understand how that's threatening, but there are two things about that. One, the taser was obviously present. And two, I feel like people who are trained and whose profession it is to be in those sort of situations should have the wherewithal to use the tools available to them, one. And two, probably not be so intimidated. And maybe that's just me casting stones at a glass house. But I don't know. I feel like that being part of the job description, you should sort of have that expectation that this could come to pass at any point in time. And you should be prepared for that.
Yeah, I think we put a lot on police officers.
We do. It's a fucking hard job. I do not envy these people.
And I mean, and that's why it's... As I was going to say, it's a societal problem. Sorry, I can't even speak right now. Gina, did you have any reactions? Did you watch any of that video?
I did not. I avoided it. I think I first heard about the incident, the news was broken to me by you when you first saw it online. And so I started looking up some of the news coverage of it, some Twitter conversations going on, but I avoided watching the videos. I don't like watching things like that in general. I don't like seeing violent things, so, you know, I just generally don't deal with it very well. And with this being a repeat of this sort of an incident, where it seems like this happens multiple times, year after year, especially in the last few years, where someone African-American has been killed by a police officer in some kind of questionable circumstances, I just, you know, I get angry all over again and depressed all over again about kind of the state of things. And watching the video, I don't think would do me any good. And I would just be sitting there trying to be, you know, the judge and jury all by myself, like, oh, he's guilty and that was wrong and that was murder. And I really don't know. But I think the fact that it's happening so much is enough to call for some kind of an action or reform of the police force in America and their training, their use of their training, what seems to be lacking training if, you know, lethal force is required so often. And one thing that it made me think was, okay, if I had to go and subdue someone that had a weapon on them as a police officer, sure, I would feel threatened. Sure, you might think you don't want this to be used on you, so you have to use some kind of force to avoid that from happening. But I'm like, how often do police officers get shot by individuals such that this is a real fear for them that it's going to happen? You know what I mean? It's not like, I feel like they don't have the
perspective,
these actual occurrences to call upon to think, yeah, this is a real possibility for me. It happens all the time. This cop got shot, this cop, you know, it's always happening. People are pulling guns on us and shooting us. I feel like that hardly ever happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So how is that the first idea that they jump to?
Where, like, cops get killed, like, by the handful.
It, like, never happens. So I'm like, why are you jumping there in your head to think you're about to get shot? And again, I don't know what I would think, you know, if I were in that situation.
I guess some real numbers right here. Like, there's been some rhetoric. Like, there's a war on cops, or this kind of, like, questioning cops is really making it harder for them, and they feel under threat. Now, the recent shootings by this dude, notwithstanding, because that was just mass murder. Just like going to church is not really that dangerous, but unless, you know, there's a crazed person that goes in there and shoots up your church, you know, that happens. Or going to a club, nightclub, and there's a guy who walks in there and shoots up the nightclub. You know, those crazy things happen. All those, you know, notwithstanding, I think shootings of cops have dropped since, like, throughout it. It's a downward trend. Cops, there's like something like 500 or something like that in Obama's presidency, which is 8 years, is the lowest under a president, you know, ever, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think you're right on. And the thing is, like, look, when I say we're putting a lot of pressure on cops, putting a lot on them, right? Like, we are saying, hey, there's a guy out there that may try to murder somebody. Go handle him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to call it Brett. Hey, Brett, can you just go handle this dude?
No. Yeah. I got to record. I got the Deranged Pigment podcast on. I got to make sure that we take care of this.
And the thing about that is that it's not like we're just giving him a broomstick and saying, go handle that. You know, like the wife saying, someone's at the door, go figure out who it is. Like, it's not like that. It's trained, you know, men and women who get, who are provided tools and training and lots of resources to handle this kind of thing. And in this case, this guy had a taser, you know, a tool of de-escalation. He had a partner. And he had some warning. And he had backup at the ready, you know? So I think the way to approach that was, you know, with maybe that kind of de-escalation in mind. And it's not like this, that kind of thing doesn't happen. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you don't know, it's dangerous. I get all that. You know, I don't know the right way. I'm not saying I have a handbook, read my handbook, and this will solve it. What I'm saying is I know that there are better ways. Because there are videos out there of cops fighting with white dudes that are extremely violent, like going, you know, blow to blow. Hand to hand. There was like one dude fighting two cops by himself in like a store. You know what the cops didn't do? Pull out a gun and shoot him. You know what the cops did to this guy who was on the ground? They pull out a gun and shot him in the chest, basically point blank. And so for me, I'm just a little off put by that, to say the least. And I think if the answer isn't well, in that situation, you have to understand we're in danger. We're trained to do it. Okay. Well, then I think the thing to do is to communicate that better with the community. Because the other part is that there's a very large community of black and minority folks, but right now mostly black folks, that are saying, we get targeted in a way that you don't understand. Like, you're not, if you're not a black man getting pulled over, you don't understand that interaction that we have. And the people have been saying this for a long time. And it's only now, only recently, that we have very affordable cameras and video equipment that are capturing these interactions. And now people are like, what's going on? Are cops going crazy? Like, well, cops have kind of always been like this. If you,
some people are saying what's going on. And then you have those people who are, I don't know, ridiculous.
Willfully ignorant.
Put it nicely, yeah.
And so, I mean, but you go all the way back to reports, like black newspaper reports about like lynchings and just like mob riots by white, you know, I guess the cops and police and just everybody there just doing terrible things. And they're saying it, hey, people are like, whatever. I don't really believe that. I don't know about that. It was like famously in Tulsa, a bunch of people, they just basically went to the black part of town and destroyed it, burnt it all the way down to the ground. And nobody fucking believed it. People thought it was a myth until they found, you know, evidence of it. They're like, well, maybe I guess it did happen. But black on black crime.
Right.
So, I mean, anyway. So, when it comes to now, that's the thing. Is that there's a whole legacy of racism and, like, structural racism that's on top of this. Like, we built our police force, and if you read a lot of academic research, they basically say that a lot of our thinking, like the underlying philosophies of police of our police force, and even like our gun control, is aimed to quell the black man, the dangerous black man. And if that informs our police force, it informs it the way they pull them over. It informs it the way they single them out for, like, you know, perceived threats, like you said, like, oh, this guy's a black dude, and he is, you know, greater than 200 pounds, so he probably could pick me up and body slam me, you know, like Andre the Giant style. So, Therefore, I need to get a bazooka. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I mean, they don't apply the same thing to other people, to quote unquote regular people, right? And so, I mean, I don't know how to change it. I don't know. I don't have the answer. Again, I don't have a handbook, but I think, like Gina said, I think that it's cause for change, for that kind of thing. I think somebody said, like, you know, the only way you can do this is, like, systemic, just completely revamping the system. Tearing it all the way down and bringing it all the way back up.
Which I am doubtful will ever happen.
I don't know. I mean, guys. I thought there was a... I didn't send it out, but there was a good article that I read that some African-American author had put out, and it was, hey, white guy, like, please stop saying that you're appalled at this behavior. Pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, we know, but it doesn't help me, the African American guy, feel better about the fact that I am significantly fearful in a hyper developed social construct. Like, I should be able to just go buy groceries at midnight, you know, at the 24-hour grocery store, but I really don't want to go out because I don't want to be a perceived threat to somebody else who happens to be buying groceries, you know?
Yeah.
And it was about how, you know, if you are significant, like, if you are appalled, if you are, you know, numb to this kind of behavior, like, You have to do something about it personally, because that is the only likelihood of change ever coming to pass. You have to be involved in your local police precinct oversight process and find out if they have one, what that is, you know, why it is like it is, if it could be more thorough, what the, you know, consequences for people who are going through that oversight process are. And I think he's right. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, there's really zero chance. And it's not like, oh, cops are corrupt or some crazy shit like that. But, like, I think they're like any other professional, right? They've got a lot of shit going on. and they have their own regulations. I don't know what they are. But, I mean, I'm sure that they have some regulation where they have to fill out Form X, and they have to check box B, and they have to do all this random shit, because they are the cog. Mm-hmm. And I understand they are trained, and they are, you know, highly developed people. I'm not trying to undermine the intellect of a cop or anything like that, but cops are the cogs in the machine. And to effectively modify the behavior of the cog, you have to modify the regulation on top of it. You have to change the structure of the machine itself. So, I mean, it's just like me. You know, I'm a fucking drug monkey. I'm going to do the same shit every fucking day until Board of Pharmacy comes down. And those guys say, guess what? Yeah. You got 98,000 more pages you got to fill out for every fucking prescription, bitch.
Well, I'll say I agree with you. However, there's a theory in public administration that, you know, like, you have some agency as an administrator. Like, police officers are public administrators, you know? And how do you know this? There's a law. We wrote it down. You know, somebody's like, we need people to stop speeding on the highway right here in the street. So they write the you know, local legislator, like, all right, we're going to get this passed. City council, they pass the law. All right, starting January 1st, cops were enforcing the speed limit right here, right? So the cop, he's a cog. He sees you speeding, and he pulls you over. Right. And he has the control there, what he can enforce, what he doesn't enforce. So he can say, hey, Brett, I saw you speeding there, and you probably just didn't know, you know what I mean, because we just changed it. So you really got to be careful with that. I'm going to let you off with a warning this time. Next time, I'm gonna write you a ticket. All right, thanks, Jim. Really appreciate that. All right, just trying to keep you safe. Have a good one. Let's go. Or he pull you over and give you a ticket right there, right? Both ways are accomplishing the same goal, right? Like trying to regulate, you know, speeding on the thing there, right? One is with communication, and the other is with, like, just enforcement. Kind of a little bit more heavy-handed. And he's within his rights, right, as a police officer, to do so. To put it down there, to... You know what I mean? Give you a ticket, or to talk to you, let you off with a warning. He has discretion in that regard. In the same way, with African American people on there, you can pull him over, and he could give them shit, right? In the name of policing, keeping the city safe, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that they do, right? Or he cannot. He cannot do that, you know what I mean? For the same reason, he could use some discretion. And it's that point that a lot of people try to address. This problem is saying we got to get people that have better discretion at this point. And so that's why what people say, all right, we're going to get some, you know, some brown-faced folk come out here and be police officers, so that way they understand, because they understand, you know, the livelihood of this person or this community, and they know better that it's going to be maybe somebody... just could use the talking to or not, right? The other part is that, you know, there's like a systemic pressure, like you said, you know, you got to change the whole thing. That even if you got a brown faced person in there, there's just so much pressure to say, just police these folks. They don't understand lots of other things that basically means that they're a little more harsh than they need to be. You know what I mean? And some of those things are like just like this militarization of the police force. And again, some of this is like in reaction towards, I think we talked about this before in the podcast, like the 60s riots in like Detroit and other things, which if you know, you talk to an historian, you talk to like urban historians, they'll tell you that is largely bubbled over because of intense segregation and things. Even like Detroit was prosperous and stuff, but guess who wasn't? I bet you can guess who wasn't. What segment of the population wasn't so prosperous? When it came down to cutting jobs, I bet you can guess which segment of the population got the jobs cut quicker, right? Yeah. You know, when it came to handing out home loans, I bet you can guess which one wasn't getting the best home loans, or any home loan. And so all of that, like you see, Eskimos.
Yeah,
exactly.
Them dirty Eskimos.
And so that's the deal. So, like, when people started getting upset about this, and everybody goes, oh, the black people are rioting down here. What happened to my America? That I, you know, like, that I imagine. The good parts of town. Anyway, so then you start stepping, we got to get police in here. They got to be harsher. We got to give them bigger guns. We got to give them tanks. We got to give them, you know, camo. So when they're walking the streets of, you know, Baton Rouge. They
blend into...
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And so, and once you train up the cops, and I mean, look, I'm a millennial dude. I play lots of shooting games. I play games. I'm like, cool, I have the awesome gun. You run around, you just have all this cool idea of what it's like to be a police officer. You know what I mean? Have a nice day. All that looks cool, right? Because we trained it up, you know, cop taking matters into his own hands, shooting up the bad guys. And so when we train up our men, our young men, and then we stick them as police, and they're like, you can't just say to them, all right, well, you're just going to police the streets and, you know, just kind of be...
Oh, women.
Yeah, women.
They're allowed to be cops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for women because I don't know the same. But I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole culture that's, like, hyped up to be fucking, you know, one-man army. And then you go out there and then we're like, all right, you got to really just be just a guy that's like, hey, son, you want to pick up the litter there? You know what I mean? Playing basketball. The kid just kind of walking around being a presence. And you're just like, well, what about being a one-man army, man? You know what I mean? When do I get to shoot up the drug dealers? Miami Vice style. When does that happen? And so I think they get a little overexcited when it comes time to quell a protesting group or just stand outside of it, you know? They're just fucking standing army right there, an urban army.
I don't know. I think there are some... It's not that there aren't black neighborhoods that need to be heavily policed. Because there are. But there are also white neighborhoods that need to be heavily policed. Like, Richmond is a great example of that. Like, there, I can think of one not specifically black, but one, like, less prosperous neighborhood that may need to be policed a little bit more heavily, just because a lot of rapes are being reported. A lot of, like, people are getting, like, physically accosted just walking to, like, restaurants and stuff in, like, the middle of the day and stuff like that, you know? Like, people won't, like, people have gotten to the point in, like, this specific part of town where, like, they won't go to the people do not stop their cars and, like, go out to the park. The playground's empty. Like, nothing's happening in this part of town. It probably needs to be more heavily policed. It happens to be mostly black. I don't think it's all black folks. You know what else is a problem? The fucking heroin epidemic in the white part of town. And it needs to be more heavily policed, too. And I don't think that you can say, like, oh, well, we don't need to police area. You just need to pay attention to where crime is. I don't think you need to pay attention to where color is. It's just not... I don't feel like the two are linked.
But I think that's the part that's so hard to fix, because even if you don't think that individuals are being purposefully racist in their intentions, we know that people judge individuals based on the way they look, and that we like people who look more like ourselves. And
yeah,
that's the part where I'm like, how do we change that? You know, you can add more bureaucracy and add more, you know, layers to the policy and laws, but when you still have individuals who have to go out and make judgment calls on their own when they're face to face with a civilian and they have to, you know, do what they think is right in the situation, how do you stop people from assuming that a larger person is more threatening than a smaller person, or that a black person is probably up to something before they would assume that of a white person? Like, how do we remove those thoughts?
So part of it to me is the discussion of, I don't know what the hell I was thinking of. Where are we?
Well, all right. So Gina's saying, You know, how do you stop a guy? You know, like you have, again, the guy on the ground making the decision, right? How do you stop him from being afraid from big, scary black dude, right?
Yeah.
And I think the way, the answer to that is, well, it's through training and stuff like that, right? But it's not just police that need to stop being afraid. Right. It's the lady, you know, it's people in the neighborhoods that have to stop being afraid. It's the society that has to be, that has to stop being scared of black people.
Yeah. And I think part of it is this problem in which we've got isolated neighborhoods. So it sort of gears law enforcement officials to be like, oh, well, it's easy. We could just say, oh, all the black people are over here, so we can just focus over here and be done with it. But it's complicated because, like Adam was saying, in a lot of these situations, residents of these neighborhoods don't want crime in their neighborhoods either. It just happens to be where more black people live because the property value is slightly lower and that's what they can afford or whatever.
Yeah, I think that was a thing. When people, an oft-cited thing, response, retort even, to Black Lives Matter is, well, before you start worrying about all these cops shooting black people, you really need to worry about black people shooting black people. What about black-on-black crime? And this has been repeatedly refuted, this thing, by saying, one, yes, most crime is committed against, you know, they're crimes of proximity, you know what I mean?
Right.
Criminals, especially desperate criminals, you know, are not going to drive across town to go rob the Asian neighborhood. They're going to rob the people in their neighborhood, which often are other black people. Same thing, that most crime committed against white people is by white people. Asians is by Asian people. Hispanics is by Hispanic people. Those are just crimes of proximity.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And so the other thing is that, yeah, like people in the neighborhoods, people in black communities that have high crime rates have spent a lot of their time trying to stop crime, working with young children, trying to prevent them from going into a life of crime, and all these other things. But, you know, to say, well, you know, crime is only caused because, you know, just people are out here not caring enough. That's not the case. It's, you know, systemic. It's infrastructure. It's crushing poverty that produces criminals. And we've, you know, proven this all across the world. That it's not race. It's not anything else. It's really just poverty. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just me. I used to steal music. I don't steal music anymore. Why? Because I'm not as broke as I once was. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier just to buy it. You know, at the same time, if I were desperate for money, maybe I'm going to go rob somebody. You know what I mean? If it gets down to that, I'm like, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I was reading a thing about in Rio before. I'll let you speak in a second. I was reading a thing about a pickpocket in Rio de Janeiro. They're talking to him, like, why do you do it? And he's like, because we need money. We need food. People at home need medicine. And then they're like, yeah, but these people, you know, do you think about them? And he's like, not really. I mean, if they can afford an iPhone, they can afford to get another one. I need food and medicine and basic living things here, so I don't really think about them. Not really that much. And so, I mean, I'm not saying it's everybody, but that's kind of how crime works, right? I mean,
yeah. It's a business.
Yeah,
it is. It's a business, just like anything else. The only problem is not a whole lot of business in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of small businesses are like, you know what? I really want to open up over here.
Yeah, and so the other part is that a lot of people, and there's Penny trying to get a word in, a lot of people that are in these communities with high crime rates are either upset, you know, they want more policing. You're talking about they need more policing. They want it too. And a lot of times they're upset. One of the most frequently complained about things is the fact that there's like a slow response rate to police calls. They're like, I called you, and where were you? You know what I mean? Like 30 minutes ago. Here's a guy got shot, nobody came, now he's dead. Or I called because there was, you know, people were getting robbed, nobody came, and they come and they're like, ugh, what is it now? You know, there's that attitude there. Gina gave me this, she gave me a census thing, I don't know what this is.
Just looking at the Wikipedia page about Falcon Heights, which is where Philando Castile was from.
73% white.
That's the city where Jingle All the Way was filmed.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, is that... I mean, I just don't know if this... this case fits into the kind of, you know.
Yeah, I guess we can start talking a little bit about Felinica. Right, so this is a dude. He worked at the cafeteria. And by all accounts, by literally all accounts except, I guess, a police account, he was a well-liked guy. He, all the kids, he worked at a school with like 500 kids. They all said he memorized all their names, which is incredible. I don't even think I know all the names of all the people on my team at work. And like, so he memorized all their names, their food allergies, and what they liked to eat, what they didn't like to eat. And all the kids loved him. They loved the guy. He was driving with his girlfriend. She was driving. He was in the passenger seat. They pulled the car over for, they said a broken taillight. I don't know what. I don't know what exactly the stop was. So they pulled over. And then he asked him for his ID. And he had his hands up. And he's like, he informed the cop. I don't know the exact order of events here. But at some point, he informed the cop that he was a concealed carry permit holder. And the cop said, well, show me your ID. And as he reached for his ID, the cop shot him five times in the arm, kind of arm area. And so he's like, his girlfriend, you know, she's like shocked by the whole thing. And he's like, I told him not to move. Why did you move? He was ready to move. And she's like, you told him to get his ID, you know? You told him to move, basically. And so the guy's bleeding, and she's Facebook lives this thing, which is kind of incredible. A lot of people are like, what? How could she be so calm? Like, what is her deal? I would be like XYZ, right? And here's the other part of this coming into play, that there's a lot of black folks that are so used to this. You know, I think famously everybody talks about the talk that you give to your black children so that way they can deal with this shit, right? And we got family members that are already giving their 9-year-old kids this stuff, and they're like freaked out about it because they're like, this kid's like a super rule follower. He's like, yeah, I'm obeying the rules. Surely I'm safe. Like, why would I ever be in danger if I'm obeying the rules? Well, kid, let me break it down for you, right? So that's the deal, is that they're like, she's like super calm, calling the dude sir. And Greg Howard of New York Magazine, he wrote a crazy thing about this. Like, it's basically trained behavior, learned behavior that you get interacting with police, that even though your boyfriend is shot and bleeding to death, that you're going to address the cop as sir, you know what I mean? And move slowly and basically be very deferential. And, you know, cops are like, well, that's what you got to do because, you know, this person's licensed. And that's the problem. Yeah. It should never be like, don't spook him because he might shoot your face off. You know? It should never be that way.
No.
Yeah. If the most calm person in the scenario should be the trained professional, right? And not
the one whose duty is to serve and protect. Yes. At least that's my knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Is to say that would probably be the most calm person in the scenario.
Mm-hmm. You would think, right? There's a shooting going on. I'm going to be freaking out like, oh, shit, they're shooting, man. Get down. Duck.
Yeah.
Fucking. And I look over and there's a cop who's like, look, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. That would be how I would imagine it, and not the way it was, where the cop was like hyperventilating, I don't know how to shout, what the fuck, motherfucker, why are you shooting? And then the chick, and also the 4-year-old girl in the back, she was like super calm. She's like, it's gonna be okay, dad. It's gonna be okay, mom. You know, it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be okay. It's like, what the fuck kind of shit, inverted ass thing did we create where that's the scenario there? So she gets out, they arrest her. Why? Fuck if I know. They arrest her, keep her overnight. She was Facebook live in the whole thing. You know, the guy died because they didn't call for help. Guy was too busy freaking out, having his gun trained on him. Still perceived him as a threat, even though he's lying in the passenger seat bleeding to death. I guess. I don't know. I mean, and I'm sure you can probably point out, like, he's following his training, the man was moving. Okay. But this is what I'm talking about, like, the bias thing here. And that's why, again, first move shouldn't be, let's get our guns out, or, you know, let's maybe not have any guns. Let's maybe have only a taser. Like, well, we're concerned because, look at this Micah Johnson dude out here shooting people. And that invites another discussion about guns in general, right? Because there was the dude walking around with the AR-15, whatever it was. I don't know. I'm not a gun dude. But he's walking around. Texas is an open carry state. Like, literally, I can go buy the biggest fucking rifle that I can get, you know what I mean, and just walk around with it down the middle of the street. Just like walk my dogs. So
fucking crazy.
But you know what I can't do? I can't get a concealed carry. I have to get like, you know, I have to take the class or whatever. But I can carry a fucking rifle.
Probably not a good idea for you. Just saying.
Exactly. Because it was last year, a year, 2 years ago. There was the other guy that was talking on the phone in Walmart, and he picked up like a toy gun, and it was just like looking at it. And I've walked around in the toy aisle talking to Gina before, like, so do you want to get? Should we get this, that, or the other? You know, like, and I'm just like walking through the toys or wherever, just picking up and stuff and looking at things. And that's basically what he was doing. And if someone's like, "This is a black man brandishing a gun," cops come over, they shoot him to death. You know? But there's other dudes, a white dude walking around Walmart with a fucking machine gun. And so the thing is, it's legal to do that. So it should be that if you're black, you can walk around with an assault rifle in Walmart. You can pick up a toy gun and not automatically be assumed to be a murdering death machine. You know what I mean? Because it's not. Most of the time, they're not.
I mean, yeah. Most of the time, they're not.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's really a concern, maybe we should. I'm with you. Maybe we should just get rid of all the guns.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And that's the thing, is that, like, I'm all for keeping the state out of my business. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to fill out a form. Like you said, everybody hates paperwork. I don't want to fill out a form talking about what. Just government in my life, like, well, am I using the approved keyboard that I was getting? Nobody wants to do that, right? But if that saves a life, yeah, maybe I'll do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like having to get my car inspected, you know, but does it save a life? Maybe. You know what I mean? Am I just driving with a murder machine that could just all of a sudden kill somebody because it's not aligned properly or something? Or it's not, you know what I mean? Yeah. Endanger somebody's life. So, all right, I'll get it done. And I feel like that's a conversation we should have about guns. And nobody wants to talk about that. Hey, this is a tragedy right now. Why are you bringing politics into this? Which is the stupidest thing that we hear every time something like this happens. Because politics is everything, right?
It is.
Decision making. So yeah, I mean, did you see that video? Gina is not going to return to this podcast. She's dealing with her kid right now.
Which video?
The Philando Castile video, or any part of it?
I did not. I don't know that I want to. That sounds really fucking terrible.
I mean, yeah, don't watch it. Don't watch any of these videos unless you have to, unless you're mentally prepared for it. Because I wrote a little blog post about it on my own personal website just to kind of try to process all of it, I guess, is what I was trying to do. I was trying to get my thoughts all together. And is it Ezekiel Quezzi, I think his name? He writes for MTV.com. He wrote something, basically said that he's like a connoisseur now. Like, he didn't mean to be, but that it's like a genre unto itself now, you know, cops shooting black people. That you can go to, and he's like, I can critique the angle. Well, actually, this one's a little bit better. It gives you a little bit more informative. You know what I mean? I myself have seen enough already. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen a handful already, and I'm like, shit, am I becoming desensitized to this? Is that kind of what we want? Is this fucking, it's fucking crazy.
It is. It's terrible, man. Like, there's, I don't think any side, I don't think the cop side even wants that. Like, the pro-cop side, surely these people don't want this shit happening so often that we're all just getting desensitized to it. But, I mean, I just don't know how you can be, you know, gung-ho, cops did all the right shit every single time, all the time, and keep seeing this stuff pop up and getting desensitized to it and think, what could we do? I mean, because the when you have some insult in your life, in your body or whatever, you try to address the problem, right? And if you start getting desensitized to this and that makes you sad, that makes you upset, you just feel like that's a disgusting state of affairs, how do you address the problem without looking at the offending party in all of these scenarios and say, is there something we can do differently? Not they're bad, not they're wrong, but like, is there something we could do differently?
Yeah.
That's the most benign way to put it, obviously. But I mean, you have to be benign because they are the keeper of the key.
I was gonna say kind of a topic we kind of touched on throughout the thing is like seeing these and what the point of seeing them is, right? Because a lot of it, basically, we don't take black people at the word. Like, hey, we're gonna press over here. Like, yeah, sure. Well, maybe you should stop resisting. And then show you video, right? First, it's like Rodney King. Look at this shit, right? Does that seem necessary, guys? Guy getting fucking, you know, jumped by like 8 dudes in the middle of the street. Does that seem a bit over the top? No, you have to understand that he was like under the influence and needed 8 dudes to beat him down repeatedly and beat him over the head. That's why. He needed, it was by the fucking book. 8 dudes beating this guy's ass. That's what you need. Now, fast forward to some of these other things. People getting shot. Like, well, you have to understand, it's a 12-year-old kid. He looked kind of dangerous. That's why we had to shoot him upon sight, right? You know? That's why.
We're just a regular fucking citizen who just murdered somebody, and we're not going to jail, and we're going to profit off of the gun.
So, you know, that's what we had to do. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. After a certain point, you don't believe him, and then the evidence that first, hey, look at this, right? Look at this shocking video, like you said. Like, you know, it's not shocking anymore. Now, like you said, at a certain point, you become desensitized to it. And what's the danger there? One, for the people that have to endure it, right? You lose trust in the police force. A lot of people are like, what? Black people just really need to trust police. I mean, we're not the enemy here. We're not the enemy, right? Yeah, but then you add to all this evidence that, I mean, reporting the crimes, that doesn't lead into anything. It doesn't get any justice. You don't get any recompense. Or at the very least, even if these were, and it's like I said, I don't necessarily believe this, but even if you stipulate that all of these were justified, right? Every one of these. This guy was justified. Actually, he did reach for his gun. You don't know, right? Philando Castile's actually reaching for his gun. Why? With his girlfriend and the 4-year-old in the background. Why would he be reaching for a fucking gun? I don't know, but maybe he was, right? The cop was justified. Explain that. You know what I mean? Do a better job engaging with the community. Build up some trust so that way you can dip into that well of trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if there's this fucking history of, you know, ill treatment, you can't say, no, you got to trust us. Even though last week I just threw you up against the wall and fucking, you know, called you all kinds of names and shit. And insulted you and your mom and the stop and frisk. You got to trust me. This guy was resisting. That's why I choked him out. He was resisting. That's why I choked him to death and just left him there to die. You know? That's why. You know what I mean? Trust me. I'm the cop. You got to trust us. And that's what I'm saying. Is like, there was a radio host that talked about that. That you try to find a cop. Anyone cop. A lot of times they're like, oh, well, I mean, you know, just they stand with their partners there. And it's that kind of thing. It's that's what makes it easier to, like, lump them all in. And like I said, it's not the right way to do it, but it's hard. You can't say, is anybody going to call us out? Nobody does.
It's true, man. I mean, like, self-policing would do them a fucking world of good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, the dude, right, one guy shoots the guy running away. I forget his name already. Guy turns and runs. Cop shoots him, right? Guns him down. And it's like, oh, yeah, he was, like, fucking attacking me and shit. You know, that's why I shot him in the back. Like, I guess he was doing a back attack.
From 50 paces.
Yeah, so then everybody's like, people immediately believe the cops. Again, because we, like, systemically, media automatically believes, you know, like, I say systemically, I mean, industrially, like, entrenched industries, these big, the concept of media kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, media as a whole, just trust cops as a whole. They got to work with them. So they're like, okay, well, cop says this guy, man who's attacking, gets shot by cop. That's how they report it. Then you see the video and you're like, well, maybe not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then cops are getting, well, you don't trust us, then we're not going to go in your neighborhood at all, then. I'm scared of police. And then that's, neither of those things are the answer. It's, hey, straighten out these people. Don't let that become, you know, don't let this kind of guy do that kind of thing. Don't cover up for him. You know what I mean? root out this corruption.
Yeah.
And then we'll believe there's nothing, this is
limp. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying, we fucked this one up. Mm-hmm. We fucked it up. Yeah. And this guy, unfortunately, he loses his pension. But he was a cold-blooded killer.
Yeah.
He needs to lose his pension. And I'm not pointing at one specific incident. I'm just talking in general.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it inspires trust, and I think it inspires better use of the force that sometimes needs to be used.
Yeah. And I mean, there are times, and again, we have a police force, and we have a good police force. It's not, generally speaking, corrupt. Although there's a lot of instances of corruption. I mean, like over there, was it in Oakland where the cops, they found out a cop was banging this underage girl. It was an underage girl. She's a girl, right? And they're like, what are you doing? Are you having sex with her? He's like, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, I'll have sex with her too then. And then they just fucking passed her around.
What?
Yeah. So
that's disgusting.
Cops are great, right? You know, because all cops are great because they protect their lives, put their lives on the line. So that's what I'm saying, is that you can't, like, that only goes so far.
And there's not,
you can't,
I mean,
hide behind that all the time while committing corruption. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think about this in terms of my own experience and my own profession. Like, I am fucking terrified of our self-governing body. Like, state boards of pharmacy wig me the fuck out. You see one of these dudes walk up to your counter and flash their and flash their state board badge, and I'm like, oh my god,
I'm never what did again. I
do? I'm gonna lose my job. I'm in the street, and I'm like, I just want to pick up my allergy medicine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Is it like,
why is there no like feeling like that with cops?
I mean, I don't know. That's again. So, like, I don't really. I've always been kind of a cynical, a little bit skeptical of institutions and things. I mean, and I feel like it's a very American way to feel, considering, you know, we wrote up a document and created a system of government designed to check power. It's like, all right, y'all make the laws, but you get elected by the people. You know what I mean? And by the way, the people, you can't just directly elect them, because you know sometimes y'all get crazy and maybe just elect a fucking clown, like an actual literal clown. We can't have that shit. So you elect, but not so much. You know what I mean? Just like there's all these checks. That's why we move real slow, because, you know, but that's good. So that we're just now like, you know what? Fucking everything, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Even then, we still do crazy shit, like round up Asians, Japanese folks, and put them in internment camps, you know?
Yeah.
We still do crazy stuff like, you know, just systematically exterminating Native Americans, putting them on reservations. So, America, you know, we're great, but not so great. Very, very not great in a lot of ways. And I still think to say, you know what, I'm glad we have cops. I've known some cops.
I'm thrilled we have cops.
It's fucking great that we have people out there that sign up and we pay them. Let's give them a nice little pension. Let's make them, you know, I feel like all that stuff is good. However,
absolutely.
When there's a crooked-ass fucking cop, let's fucking stick it to them. All the way to them. Because these people have our trust. And to not only just, I mean, it's one thing for the fucking Starbucks dude to give me whole milk when I ask for soy, right? It's another for this guy who has the power of life and death. Right, to abuse that power. Like, fuck it, I'll just shoot this guy in the back. Fuck this dude. You know, let's pin his ass to the wall. And everybody should be willing, every cop, everybody that's an American citizen should be excited to root out that kind of corruption and make an example of that kind of corruption.
Well, because it does further inspire trust in the institution. And it further rewards the cops who are the hardworking cops, who are the people who are out there slaving away for really not much money. Like, these guys are not, like, banking crazy guys.
Yeah, exactly. And so all the stuff where, like, you know, cop gets a free donut when they come in because you want their presence, all that stuff, I think all that's fine. It's fucking great.
Good stuff. A-okay.
I feel like you should do that same shit for teachers when a teacher comes in. You know, you go visit parent teacher conference, fucking bring a thing of Kleenex because they all need Kleenex for their classrooms. Whatever. All the stuff. Help them out. Give him a pat on the back, you know, buy him a six pack, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we should be more like that, and then at the same time, people that protect bad actors should be ashamed of themselves, one, and then, you know, and then punished otherwise. Also, we should demilitarize the police. See the shit in Baton Rouge where they fucking just bodied up on a group of protesters at a private residence?
Mm-mm.
I've seen a video. I think all that's fucking crazy. All of it's scary. It's a little bit scary.
I want to say demilitarize the police, but mass shootings are the one thing that keep me from saying them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they go hand in hand. Like, we don't.
They do. They go hand in hand. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
We shouldn't, like, again, I totally get it when they're like, well, you know, there's guys out there with fucking automatic rifles and fucking Uzis and shit. How are we supposed to take them out with a six shooter? You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
All right, let's make it illegal for everybody to fucking have those kinds of
Uzis.
Things. Yeah. Yeah. Or at least, at the very least, and this is the very least you can do, an automatic rifle ban. You know what I mean? Hey, let's not, you know, you can't have one of these. And then dudes like this guy, Mike Johnson, can't go out, fucking do this stuff. I think I saw today, I don't know how true it is, I just kind of saw the headline, that apparently he got kicked out of the new Black Panther Party in Houston for saying crazy shit. They're like, look, dude, you're fucking crazy. There you go. Good. Disowning crazy people.
Yeah, man. Get rid of them. And just fucking shitty people. And whatever it is you're doing, if you're some teacher that's screwing kids, root that person out.
Yeah. It's better for everyone if you do that.
If you are a veterinarian and you know some veterinarians screwing dogs, report that fucking guy.
Yeah, like, well, no, he's my brother, you know, we're all brothers, unspoken code, omerta, you know, cause it look, wait, huh?
What,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, exactly, you can't be like your own fucking, you know, your own little mob there, fucking blue mob, like, I mean, come on, dude, yeah, like, you're part of this community, you know what I mean, your duty is not to your fellow officer first, your duty is to, you know, the American to your citizenry. Anyway, so that's that. I mean, yeah, there's so much to talk about, but we're running out of time, and I'm sure everyone's getting tired of fucking a couple of dudes talking about this shit.
Yeah. How do you feel about Timmy retiring?
I'm a little sad, but it was, you know, I was preparing for it since every year I'm kind of like, Timmy gonna retire? I think Timmy might retire.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, like, Popovich, they showed the little argument where he had, like, the, he kind of, he was like, are you sure you want to play? And Tim was like, of course. He's like, my bad, of course, of course. And basically let him play the whole fourth quarter, and Tim almost brought him back.
Yeah.
I kind of knew, I was like, all right, that's a last hurrah kind of, you know, thing. I mean, I wrote something about Timmy today on SAReview.xyz, which is the site that I have. And I mean, it's not very good. There's been a lot of good stuff, some terrible stuff written about Tim. There's not a whole lot to say because he was the same dude from year 1 to year 19. Like, his per 36 minute things were like, I mean, remember that time he averaged 21 in a season? Like, yeah, what? That was like
19 in a row.
Yeah. You remember that time he averaged about 11 point rebounds a game? So, all of his career?
Yeah, every single night.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing you can say about the guy. So he was literally, you could take him for granted. And I wish I could be so good at anything, at podcasting, where you're like, you know what? I know I'm going to get a fucking 20 and 10 night every time I listen to a Deranged Pink podcast.
Yeah.
Really, sometimes I'm just like, man, and other times I'm great.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm up and down. I'm not.
But it was funny. Did you see the, on NBA.com, did you see the top 10 plays for Timmy's career?
No, I don't think so. What happened?
Not really that remarkable.
Just fucking layup. Oh.
Yeah, a bunch of layups. Off the glass. 10 footer off the glass. I swear, there were two. They were like just layups. Just like this guy just walked down the court and did a layup. And there were two plays. There were two out of the entire top 10 that I was like, wow, that was a pretty good play. One was a dunk on Ben Wallace. That was pretty impressive.
Was that in Game 7? I think it might have been Game 7 in the NBA Finals.
I think so.
Yeah.
And two was the falling away shot over Shaq.
Oh, yeah.
The game winner.
Man, if Derek Fisher didn't hit that .4 shot immediately after, that would be an all-time great shot. Yeah. Fall away over Shaq. That was fucking crazy. I remember that. I jumped up. I hit the ceiling. My brother's all that. And I looked at my brother and I was like, there's .4 left. They could still score. They could still score. Yeah. It's possible. My brother's like, it's crazy. Sure enough. Fucking Lakers, man. I will say this. Dejounte Murray looks pretty good. He's a Spurs new point guard in Summer League. In Summer League, though. And he's working his game. But he can get to the basket and he could dunk the ball. He's good for third point guard. Your dude Brandon Ingram, not so great. He looks a little scrawny. The number two pick for the Lakers.
Yeah, he looks like somebody drew a stick figure on the court. That's what it looks
and
like.
Then conjured him to life. Yeah. And then now he's playing for the Lakers. Ben Simmons, dude, that's for the Sixers.
I haven't watched any of his games. Is he doing all right?
That dude has some amazing passes.
Really?
He has like a season's worth of amazing passes in just the Summer League game right now. And apparently he was doing that at LSU too. I didn't watch a whole lot of LSU games. But yeah, just Google Ben Simmons Summer League passes and you'll get 3-4 great highlights of them. My favorite is one he cut through the lane and threw it like from right to left, bounce pass to a cutting dude, got a layup. But he has a handful of those. It's crazy. In just the 5-6 games. Was it Jaylen Brown, dude on the Celtics? I guess he looked okay. But Ben Simmons looks like he's a real deal. Brandon Ingram looks like he needs to hit the weight room and eat another fucking sandwich.
I sort of like it, though. It's sort of like reminiscent of KD. Like, I remember KD coming out of Texas, and I thought, damn, kid needs to eat a fucking jar and a half of peanut butter a day.
Yeah, and he still hasn't put on any weight.
He just
leading score in the NBA, handful of times. So there you go. Black Lives Matter, everybody. Take action in your community, like Brad said. And subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends.
Tell your neighbors. Tell your parents.
As you're out there playing Pokemon Go.
Oh, my God. What is with this shit?
I saw people outside as I was walking dog last night, a gaggle of kids running through, and I was like,
"Well, the first time I heard of it was yesterday. It was a buddy of mine.
Did you ever play Pokemon, like the game?
I didn't ever actually play the game, no. But he explained it to me, and he was like, oh, this is what it is, and all this stuff. I was like, all right, cool. Today, walking out of work, I was watching another person about my age, another grown man, walk into a parked car in the Target parking lot. I was like, are you kidding me? And obviously I don't have his phone in front of me, but he has to be playing this stupid game.
Yeah. Let me bring it down and depress everybody a notch. A guy, I think it was on IO9, he was writing in. He was like, yeah, it was pretty great, this game. I was super excited about it. And then I went outside for like 20 minutes, he said. And like for 4 minutes, I was like super excited, kind of geeking out, like, oh man, I'm going to find a Charizard. And then for like 5 minutes, I was trying to look pleasant around this white lady that was looking at me weird. And then another 15 minutes thinking about, the state of our society. And then how, like, this is yet another thing that could get me, a black man, murdered. Because I'm sure people are going to get a little freaked out if I'm walking around their neighborhood looking for, a Pikachu, and they're like, this fucking black dude walking outside. And they're going to roll up on him.
He's got a phone!
They're going to shoot him in the face. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so he was like, he was a little depressed about that whole thing. And it makes perfect sense. All right, Gina says, she texted me right now, let the listeners know. I'll announce the next movie pick next show, and we can discuss it on August 1st. Next week, now it's a new movie to watch. Last week, we discussed The Messenger, 2009. Do the same. Last week's episode was pretty good. We didn't recap it, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed listening to our own podcast. Time. I enjoy recording it and listening to our own podcast. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Nah, man. Subscribe.
Subscribe. DrangePenguin.com. Penguin with the W. PENGWI. And also next week, we're going to talk. I'm going to post it right now. And this is the other thing I have to do. Fuck. Correspondent Colton posted another coffee review.
For real?
Yeah. And it didn't really quite fit in what we're talking about. I know we kind of joked about mixing it in. So we're going to post the review. You can go to, I'm going to put a link to it on the show notes. It's going to be SAReview.xyz blog. And then you can read about it, and we're going to talk about it next week with Delner, because we were hashtag Del today. He was at Flight of the Conchords in New Orleans. Again, yet another thing that is preventing him from doing his dissertation. Get on your shit, Del.
He's never going to finish.
No, he's not. He's going to be 89 years old.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are
done. Uh-oh.